Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to join with you by way of this radio broadcast today. Looking forward to your dialogue and input on the discussion today. Let me remind you, you can call in. The call-in telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, your discussion on the issue today. And ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the issue of discussion, we're going to be talking about today, by the way, the test of obedience. The test of obedience. We're talking about obedience to the Word of God. What does the Scripture say? Should we obey the Word, or is it just something that we can nonchalant say yes or no to? But before we get into that dialogue and discussion, let me just simply remind you that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. So many times, and I've dealt with thousands and thousands of people down through the years, and generally speaking, each individual has his own facts, his own sense of what is truth, his own point of reference as to how he makes his decisions and what he does and what causes him and what motivates him to do what he does. One of the major problems we have in society today is each and every individual trying to make choices and decisions on what to do without a guidebook, without a source book, without a roadmap, without illumination. And that illumination, that source book, is none other than the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." So I want to always remind us that the source book for you and for me ought to be nothing less than the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. That is the Bible. It is the totality of truth. And we need to stand on truth today, as perhaps no other time in the history of our nation. We need to go back to the source book of truth, the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you also, you're invited to worship with us this Sunday. Sunday morning at 9:30 is the Bible study hour, where you have the opportunity of the individual groups to sit down and study the Word of God together, asking questions, dialogue, and discussion on the lesson of the day. And we invite you to do that, 9:30 on Sunday morning. Then at 10:45 on Sunday morning is the preached word, the preaching of the Word of God, the morning worship service. We place the emphasis in the time together on the Word of God. A lot of churches, and I'm not trying to say this in a disparaging fashion, perhaps you enjoy that, but there are many churches where you'll have 45 minutes to an hour of singing and then 10, 15 minutes sermonette for Christianettes. Well, that's not the approach that we take. Our main focus is on opening the Word of God to our hearing, to our understanding, and heeding. And one that I think that you would be interested in, or should be, is the question, will the Christian go through the tribulation? Will the Christian go through the tribulation? I'll be dealing with that Sunday morning. Title of the message is, "We Are Kept," K-E-P-T. We are kept. That means we're not going through the tribulation. Perhaps you wonder how the Scripture says that. What does the Scripture say about it? What is the assurance that we have of that? Let me invite you to come and worship with us at 10:45 this Sunday morning. We're looking forward to meeting you. We've met you on the air. We'd love to meet you in person and have the privilege of worshiping with you. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. That's exactly, precisely 1 mile south of I-295, right here in the heart of Mandarin. Looking forward to having you with us. If you can't make it on Sunday morning at 10:45, then 7 o'clock on Sunday evening, yes, we still have the old-fashioned gospel proclamation on Sunday evenings. We'd love to have you. If you can't make it on Sunday morning, Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock is our worship time. Let me remind you of that telephone number again, 831-0917, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, the question that we're dealing with today is the test of obedience. I'm sure every parent listening to me, if you're listening today, your parent, your grandparent, then you understand the biblical admonition for children to obey your parents. The scripture says in Colossians, children, obey your parents in all things. There are two or three words that it's important, obey and your parents and all things. Ladies and gentlemen, the word of God says that a child is to obey the mother and the father. The word to obey is a directive, a command from the Lord. It's not an option, but it says obey your parents. If I'm in the grocery store and I see a child misbehaving, I can't expect that child to listen to me and obey me because they're not mine. So also when it comes down to obedience to the word of God, if we're a child of God, if we've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, we're charged with the responsibility of obeying God through his word. Let me just give you a little illustration. Dr. Phelps is here on the microphone with us today. And in a moment, Dr. Phelps and I will be talking about this word obey and obedience. And we were just talking about prior to going on the air. If you're driving down the street and there's a stop sign, you're obliged to obey the stop sign. The stop sign is there for your protection and my protection. If we disobey that stop sign, we're apt to be harmed, hurt, or killed because we have disobeyed the stop sign. And if we happen to disobey it, that doesn't mean that we're no longer a citizen. It means that we're a citizen that's out of, if you please, relationship with the law. And so also when we obey the word of God, that means we have that fellowship with God because we're obedient to his word. So I don't want us to have any thought today that we're talking about in this Bible study, that we're talking about or intimating in any fashion, that if you're saved and you disobey God, then that means you're lost again. There's some writers and researchers and some theologians and preachers that have that philosophy that you can be saved today. You commit one sin, you're lost again. You have to get saved again. Saved and lost, saved and lost. It's a miserable, miserable journey through life if you think you're saved and you can do something to get lost. Just as we're born into the family of our biological family, when we're born into the biological family, there's nothing can be done that will make you unborn, make you not be a child, a son or a daughter of your parents. So also in the obedience of the word of God. We seem to agree then, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we're in agreement. I'm not hearing you saying A or nay, but I believe we're in agreement that a child should obey the parents in the indication of the scripture, and that obedience is indication of love and relationship. So why is it that there seems to be such a disconnect with the belief in and the responsibility of obeying God through his word? Dr. Phelps, I'm delighted that you're with us. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Phelps is a professor of Bible and theology in Conservative Theological University, and it makes reminds me that we need to invite you to call at your leisure, 1-800-GO-BIBLE, 1-800-GO-BIBLE, talk with us about the possibility of getting enrolled for the summer seminars and for the fall semester in the university. Nothing better than having a better grip, a better handle on knowing the scripture. You may be a Sunday school teacher or a deacon. You may simply be a Christian wanting to serve the Lord and know him better. Maybe that you're a pastor, a co-pastor, associate pastor, or a minister of education or counseling in your church. We'd love to have you on board with us, Conservative Theological University, to study the word, to know the word, and to earn your credential in doing so. Dr. Phelps, let me ask you a question. You've heard my monologue. Let me ask you a very simple question for you to respond to, and then share with us your thoughts about obedience. Is it possible for a Christian to be saved without obedience, first of all, to what the word says for salvation, then after salvation to simply be disregard and to disobey the word of God? Tell us about obedience and its corollary to salvation and our serving the Lord.
First of all, in the scriptures, we find that the model believer, who's Abraham, was said to be a man who obeyed the word of God. He obeyed God's. Both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, Abraham is shown to be a man of character. In Genesis chapter 25, verse number 5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, God says, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. God was telling us that Abraham was a man who obeyed God. And in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says, Abraham, by faith, obeyed God and did as God had told him to do, to go to the promised land. And Jesus has talked about this matter of obedience in the Word of God and disobedience as well. And I'm looking at John chapter 8, where Jesus said in verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And verse 34, Jesus also said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. Now, what he was talking about there is the possibility that a person would serve sin. And Jesus then said something else in verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. For what Jesus said concerning the Christian is that when we hear, we heed, we honor the Word of God, the truth of God, then we experience a change, and that's a change to a new obedience.
I like that you just said, to hear, to heed, and to honor.
Yes.
I like that alliterative approach to it. That is a good way to put it, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead, Dr. Phelps.
One of the effects of hearing and heeding and honoring God's Word of truth is that we are changed. We have a change of freedom. And that change involves several things, one of which is we're changed. We have a freedom from the bondage of dominion. When we find the scriptures talking about this matter of obedience, you have an option. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, scriptures there is talking about this matter of obedience when we hear the Word of God, or when we refuse to obey the Word of God. This is a very interesting passage. 1 Peter chapter 1 says in verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned, means unpretended, love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass wither, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Notice that the first verse I read says that our response should be that of obeying the truth. So when we respond by hearing, heeding, and honoring the word of truth of the gospel of Christ, we're changed for the better. By being born again, we become a person who has a new lifestyle. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so the Apostle Peter continues that thought in his second chapter by saying this, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And in chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
That's right.
And says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. And so what he's trying to tell us is here that we are changed by the hearing of the Word of God, and we are to have a different lifestyle.
So, Dr. Phelps, does that mean, let's just do some hypotheticals, a person is a perpetual liar, and that person says he's saved, he gets saved, says he's saved, but it doesn't change that lifestyle. He's still a perpetual liar. And yet the scripture says there will not be any liars in heaven. Is that talking about a person, once he's saved, must live a perfect life and no sin? I believe the listeners perhaps are trying to grasp it, understanding. When we get saved, that doesn't mean that we're perfect. But yet the scripture says, Jesus speaking in Luke 6:46, he says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" A lot of people today, and I believe perhaps some of those listening, it might apply that you have been made to believe that somehow you're saved, but you never read the Word of God, you never open the Scripture, you never study it, you never let it direct you, and whatever the Scripture says, you simply do that which is contrary to it. So, Dr. Phelps, the question that I believe we need to continue to look at is, that person is saved. Once he's saved, does that really, as you just read the scripture a moment ago, revolutionize the life, totally change the life, so that person is now a perfect person, or that person is simply saved by grace and still a sinner that's saved, but he wants to obey? Share with our listeners about that question.
Well, one of the verses that I read from John chapter 8, I believe might help us and give us some light on that question. Jesus, when he was talking with the religious folks of his day, had told them that when they know the truth will make you free.
Right.
What he's trying to tell them is that he is offering us the freedom from the dominion of sin.
Yes.
And so he said also to them, "And the truth shall make you free." Well, their response very quickly was, "We are Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to anyone. Why do you say you shall be made free?" And they were so blind,
yes,
that they didn't glance and see the Roman soldier on the side of the street corner and on the other side as well, all around them. They were under the control of Rome. Previously, they had been under the control of the Pharaoh of Egypt. They were servants to Pharaoh. And many times down through the centuries, they were taken captives. They were taken captive to Babylon. They had become servants to the Babylon government. And so they were blinded as to that. Many people will deny that there's any sin in their life that controls them, but they're simply denying the truth, living in denial. And so I want to go back to the passage in the book of Romans in a few minutes, but also I want to continue here in 1 Peter 1. What happens is that when we're saved, we're changed for the better. Peter had mentioned the fact that the gospel is like seed. It's one of the comparisons that's made in the scripture concerning the scriptures, concerning the word of truth. Remember, Jesus told the parable about the person who was sowing the seed and how that it fell in some areas where it would bring forth abundantly. Some areas it would just sprout and then wither. But when it falls upon good ground and there's obedience in the heart of a person, then there is a change. Let me try to explain that just a little bit. The gospel seed is sown in the heart of anyone who receives it by hearing and receiving the truth. That's a wonderful truth we find in the Word of God. Like the natural seed we sow in the garden, the gospel seed will germinate, push upward out of the darkness of the dirt to the light of the sun, out of death to and corruption to life, out of doubt to faith, and also out of disobedience to serve the Lord.
Yes.
And so the Word of God acts much like garden seed, but it's the gospel seed that's sown. The Spirit of life is involved in the process of being saved, being born again, and faith is generated in us by the working of the Spirit of life and the Word of life, and we become a believer. And of course, according to verse 23 here in 1 Peter chapter 1, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So having heard the word of truth, the gospel of Christ, and having obeyed from the heart, we demonstrate our faith by godly behavior of the new creature we are in Christ Jesus. When we're born again, we have a change of freedom. We are free to serve the Lord, not sin. We are free from the dominion of sin. We're no longer controlled by disobedience. It's a matter of choice. We can choose to refuse to live in sin. Jesus said, he that committeth sin then is the servant of sin. That means a person who deliberately, willfully chooses to continue on in a sinful lifestyle then is a servant of sin.
In fact, Dr. Phelps, it reminds me of John 15:14, where Jesus says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. That's obedience. And then in Hebrews 5:9, speaking of the Lord Jesus as being made perfect, that is complete, mature, he, Jesus, became the author, that is the source, the cause of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And so I always make the point that a good evidence of a person's salvation, relationship to Jesus, is if he is willing to obey what the Word of God says. I've used the illustration many times down through the years. A lot of people take a penknife, go through the Scripture, everything they don't like, they just cut it out, tear it out. Like this with the sodomite lifestyle today, the LGBTQ lifestyle. They're saying they love Jesus and they're saved. It's an impossibility to be saved and continue in that lifestyle. You're not obeying the Scripture.
Yes. So there's another passage of Scripture that deals with this very, very plainly. And it's Romans chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 16, and then I want to read some others as well. It says in Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. So here's what I'd like to say about this passage. When we respond by hearing, heeding, and honoring the Word of God, we're behaving in obedience. When we obey the Word of the truth of the gospel, we have a change of freedom. It's the freedom from the bondage of dominion. And Romans chapter 6 talks about that, dominion. What do you mean by that, Dr. Phelps? I'm talking about the life-dominating habits, the immoral lifestyle, the ways of the ungodly that control a person's life. Knowing the truth gives us freedom from the control of sin. If you find yourself addicted to alcohol or marijuana or other drugs, you're under bondage, the bondage of dominion. If you find yourself continually involved in bad habits, you're in bondage. By a sin-dominated lifestyle, you're behaving in disobedience. Romans chapter 6, verse 14, God says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. And God tells us of the freedom that we can have. And this is in the imperative voice, Romans 6, 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. And it's like a command. Mm-hmm. And when God gives us a command, he also gives us then the ability, then the enablement so that we can overcome.
And that ability, that enablement, correct me if I'm wrong, is always through his word.
Amen. Someone said of those caught up in the immoral lifestyle, they can't help it. Well, here's my answer. You can't help yourself, but God can.
Yes.
John 8:36, Jesus said, and the Son shall make you free. Like a person trapped in quicksand, we can be overcome by the entrapments of sin. We cannot free ourselves, but God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, can. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only Savior. Jesus is the only Redeemer. Jesus is the only Deliverer. And so when you're entrapped in sin and you say, I can't help it, listen to what the Scriptures tell us. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, the Bible tells us that we have in Jesus one who is our Deliverer. And of him we read in 2 Corinthians 1:10, who delivered us from so great a death, that's spiritual death, and does deliver, that means now, today, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And I believe that's talking about past, present, and future. We have been delivered from the wrath of God upon sin. We're delivered by our Lord Jesus Christ from the condemnation and the consequences of sin, but he also delivers us from the control of sin. So that means we have freedom in Jesus. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. We can choose to refuse to be involved in life-dominating bad habits, and we can choose to serve the Lord.
Yes. In fact, Dr. Phelps, could we say, as a general, how would you say, umbrella on what you and I are talking about today, biblical obedience after salvation? Biblical obedience is to hear God's word and obey it. And secondly, it's simply submitting to God's authority over us through his word and what he says. And then further, if we believe him, listen, if we believe him, speaking of Jesus, if we believe Jesus, we will obey him. He is God, and it's God's word that directs us. Dr. Phelps, we've got about 2 minutes in the broadcast. Have a wrap-up statement, and then we're going to talk about something in closing about this Sunday on a national level being a special day.
Yes, so we can choose to refuse to be involved in life-dominating bad habits, and we can choose to serve the Lord. You see, the Scriptures tell us here in Romans chapter 6, when we obey the gospel of Christ, we have a change of freedom. Listen to verse 17. But God be thanked that you were, that means past tense, the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or teaching which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And I believe that what God's trying to tell us there is that when we heed the word of God and we begin to obey God from our heart, then God gives us the freedom from the dominion of sin.
Yes.
So that we do not have to obey sin anymore. Sin then does not control me. It does not control you unless we allow it.
Yes. It is by obeying what the Scripture says that gives us the freedom in Christ to serve him and to have that fellowship. Ladies and gentlemen, before we close the broadcast today, let me remind you, Franklin Graham has asked that we as Christians across America designate June the 2nd, that's this Sunday, as National Prayer Day for our president, for President Donald J. Trump. So let me invite you in these final few minutes of this broadcast that you focus on praying for our president. Let's ask God to simply bless him, protect him, and use him. Let me take a moment as we close to simply pray for our president. God, we ask you today to hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, that you would bless our president. Thank you for your divine intervention in giving him to us as the leader for our nation. We realize, Father, that he is a fallible individual, just as we are, a fallen and sinful creature. But yet, Lord, we praise you and thank you that you've designated him. You've placed him in a position of leading us. We pray that you'd protect him, give him wisdom and guidance. We pray that you'd protect him from the enemies and the fake news and those that will tear down and destroy
destroy from those, Father, that are trying to undermine his presidency and to remove an elected, properly constitutionally elected president that's trying to remove him from office. We pray, Lord, that you bless him, instill with him faith in you. May those around him, Vice President Pence and others in the leadership role around him, be the encouragement that he needs, be the one that will speak truth into his ear, and that overshadow him through your word, that you would empower him to protect us as a nation, guide us, and continually use him as our leader. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.